Okay, so we left off with the question, the Havamina Maskana. Tosas two ways to view Svek Sveka. Whether the Suffek that he proposes on Daftes, Amad Aleph and Ksubas, whether or not in the Tosa Vibayas Ema, whether that's a valid Svek Sveka or not. And he concludes it's not because shame ones chadu. So what is the question theoretically in Svara between the Kash and the Teretz? The question in Tosa's mind is the following: what is the principle of the Svek Sveka? Is it how many situations of Safek? Meaning, the halacha says that if you have multiple situations of Safek, such that in each situation there would be a tzad heter, so then you would say that the, so to speak, the distance from the Isser is such that we don't say that it's Usser. Now, as Tosus and the Havamin is going according to situations. So the situations are, was it a situation of Ratzon? Or was it a situation of Onus? And if you tell me it was a situation of Ratzon, but perhaps the Ratzon occurred in the context of her being a Kitana. That was Tosas in the Havamina. That's how we understood Svek Sveka. As Svek Sveka, each Suffek means that you introduce a situation of Suffek. In the Maskana, he holds no. It's halacha in the shame. What does it mean, halacha in the shame? Halacha in the shame means how many you need, not one, but two halachic mechanisms of heter. As you have to show that there's a possibility of multiple halachic ideas or mechanisms that would be matir the situation. That's the shame. Shame means the halachic mechanisms, distinct halachic mechanisms of heter, or halachic ideas of heter. It's the shemos that are matir, the halachic shemos. So if you can show that in a given situation there are multiple shemos to say that it's mutter, then we say that then we say it's it, then we say the situation in total, you're permitted to do it. It's not based on situations, but it's based on halachic shemos. So that's why over here, even though you really in terms of situations, it's two, because like we said before, maybe it's she's a gedola, but it's onus or ratzon, or even tell me it's ratzon, but maybe either gedola or katana. So you've introduced multiple situations to say that it might be mutter. Yeah, but the only problem is that the idea of it, if it's Ratzon when she's a Kitana, the halachic mechanism that says she's Muteres is the fact that we consider Ratzon and Kitana as being a shame onus. The halachic mechanism is a mechanism of onus. It's tantamount to, it's the same thing as onus of a gedola in the halachic world. So therefore, insofar as the halachic, you haven't introduced a new halachic mechanism. Basically, the question boils down to, was it Ratzon or was it Onus? Now, what do I care which case of Onus it might be? The point is, that's Onus. The halachic shame is halachic shame of Onus. So therefore, that's why Tosas concludes, that's why Tosas says, that's why the Gemara never introduced that Svek Sveka as a kasha. Because it's not, doesn't work. You see clearly from the Gemara that Svek Svek is not based on how many situations of Heter, but how many halachic, it has to be multiple halachic shemos of Heter, i.e. mechanisms that are matir, or ideas that are matir, halachic concepts that are matir. You, of course, like, if you take, and that's what the Shach says in his, in Simen Kuf Yud, in Yoredeya. So Simen Kuf Yud Yoredeya, at the end, where he has Dine Svek Sveka, based on the Ramah there. So in Os Yud Aleph, Svek Sveka Os Yud Aleph, that's where he says that it has to be like exactly what Tosas says. He quotes this Tosas that it has to be multiple shemos. So it's one of the basic rules of Svek Sveka. Now, of course, how to view whether or not something or not is a different shame, but that obviously also has to be further studied. I'll give you an example of one that's very common, which the Shach mentions in Os Yud Beis in Svek Sveka, which is the Halach in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Chav Beis. In Sifim Sif Vav, so we all have the famous rule that's very helpful in the kitchen of Stam Kalim Einam Bnei Yoman. Right, so if you use a kli and you don't know, you just took a kli, let's say a milachic fork, okay, and you used it to stir a fleishik pot, so you don't have to get into a whole shaila of shishim against the fork, because you say Stam Kalim Einam Bnei Yoman, so therefore we assume it's more than 24 hours old, and therefore the tam is nosin tam lufgam, and therefore there's no problem altogether of tam and tam kicker, so you don't need to measure shishim against the fork. So why do we have a rule Stam Kalim Einam Bnei Yoman? You know, what is the source for that idea? The Tosus in Avodah Zarah and all the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch all say the reason is because of Svek Sveka. The Svek Sveka would be Safek was it used today? Safek was it used yesterday? Right? I mean, Safek whether it's a Ben Yoma, Safek if it's an Ena Ben Yoma. And even if you tell me it was used today, maybe it was used with something that would be pogame this particular food. Okay? Yeah, the basis of the suffix, because offhand it looks like a kasha. Because it looks like both suffixes are based on the shame of Nosin Tam Lufgam. Okay? But the answer is that it's qualitatively two different kinds of Nosin Tam Lufgam. Meaning, if a Kli is more than 24 hours, then we say objectively, inherently, the Tam in the Kli is Pugum. That tom is pugum. That is considered to be an inferior tom. And that's universal. That's by definition. But you see, if it's no, the other nosin tam lufgam is, like for instance, putting ketchup into coffee. So that is not, ketchup isn't lufgam, but as a tom in ketchup, relative to the ketchup relative to the coffee, that is lufgam. So that's the other idea of, that's a different idea of nosin tam lufgam. It's a different idea. It's not where the cheftza is inherently pogum. On the contrary, the cheftza is very good. It's ketchup right out of the refrigerator. Nice, fresh Heinz. But relative to the coffee, it does something negative to the coffee. And interestingly enough, the Torah did not aser that. Because we paskin nosin tam lufgam is mutter midaraisa. So, therefore, right, well, even the Rabbanan, except you just name of Atlanis lachatchila. So therefore, it's really two different ideas of nosin tam lufgam. It's two different shemos of nosin tam lufgam. So I just bring that up to show you that the idea of shem echad doesn't mean if they're part of the same category, they still might be two shemos. You have to analyze it further. Okay? But that's a famous one that really, that's a very practical svexveka that we rely on all the time in deciding, kashrus questions in the kitchen. I mean, of course, you could have other svexvekas that, and since we're in the middle of the Omer, I mean, a svexveka would be if a person forgot to count last night. And now he counts today, right? Today is what, 19? So he counts today 19 in the daytime. So now the question is, can he count with a bracha tonight? So the answer is he can, based on a svexveka. Because the svexveka will be that does only counting at night count, or does even counting in the day count? And even if you tell me counting in the day doesn't count, but maybe you don't really even have to count every day. Maybe missing a day is okay. Because that's another question. That's another suffix. Do you have to count every day? So Svexveka says that if you were to count tonight with a bracha, your bracha would not be levatala. That's how a Svexveka operates. That's another, I guess, famous Svexveka. I mean, I guess you would say that the basic idea of Svexveka is that if you have these multiple halachic shemos telling you that this is mutter, in other words, you have these multiple possibilities, I guess that you would say that it renders you not related to Isser, not related to the Isser sufficiently. There has to be a certain relationship of the Gavra to Isser in order to say that what he's engaging in is in fact Usser. He has to be related to that category insofar as the Maisa he's about to do. But since you have multiple halachic reasons why it's mutter, we say that the relationship to Isser is lacking, and therefore the Gavra may proceed. That's what I would say at this point. All right, I'll do the Rav has a piece where there's a big problem insofar as Svexveka. And let me just get the Shulchan Aruch. This piece is written up in Rav Shurkin's Sefer, Hare Kedem, Chelek Beis. I believe it's the first piece on Sfiras HaOmer in the Sefer. So it's after the Pesach stuff, the Haggadah stuff. Okay, so look there to see what is said there. But I'll just give it. I'll give a review of it. So the Shulchan Aruch learns in Siman Reish Sadi Gimel. First of all, you have to know that he holds that Isser Chodosh is noheg everywhere, Baaretz and Chutz Laaretz, and he doesn't care who's the owner of the Tefuah. Whether it's a Goy or Yisrael, it's Usser. Okay, so Isser Chodesh, according to the Mechaber, is just simply everywhere. Okay? Now the Mechaber says, Tfuah Shlo Hishrisha Kodum Batez Zayin Benisan Asura Ad Sheyovo HaOmer HaBa. Okay, Tfuah that did not take root before the 16th day of Nisan is prohibited until the next Omer. The Mechaber, of course, is talking Bizman. He's talking about an Eretz Yisrael, okay? Because really, the truth is, if first of all, it's the time of the Beis Hamikdash, the Korban Omer would be Matirit. So the Korban Omer usually was Nikrav at around by Chatzos on the 16th. But if for some reason there was none, most Shittas hold that then it would become Mutter at the end of the day of the 16th. There's a lot of questions about that issue. Okay. You'll look in the sugyas and the minchas chinuch and everywhere else. Okay. In chutz la'aretz bizman hazeh, you have to, of course, add a day. So it actually, today, of course, there's no korban omer. So in Eretz Yisrael, it becomes mutter after the 16th, meaning on the night of the 17th. And by us in chutz la'aretz, it becomes mutter the night of the 18th. Just add a day. Okay. So now you have halacha. The halacha is if tefuah didn't take root before the 16th, okay, taking root usually means it's been planted, according to the shach, at least 3 days prior to the 16th. Okay? So it was planted three. So if it wasn't planted 3 days prior, then you have to wait for the next Omer. Okay? And this is basically a Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Ayin in Menachos says very openly, HaOmer, im hishrisho kodem laOmer, HaOmer matiran. Ve'imlav asurin ad sheyavo haOmer haba. So it's an open Mishnah, a clear Mishnah, that if it took root prior to the Omer, then that Omer will be matirit. But if it doesn't take root until after the Omer, so then you have to wait for the next Omer. That is the basic halacha. Okay. Now says the Ramah. Umikol makom kol stam tfua shari lachar ha-pesach. Mikoach svektsveka. So Ramah says, however, I want you to know, despite the strict position that we have, and the Mechaber has, that all chadash is problematic, stam tefuah b'zman hazeh is going to be mutter after Pesach. Why? Mikoach svek sveka. Safek hi mishana sha'avra. Safek maybe this wheat is from last year's harvest. V'imtim salomar mishana zu. And if you want to tell me that it was harvested after Pesach, mikol makom dilman nishrisha kodem omer. Still, maybe it took root before the omer. So you have a svek-sveka. Suffek whether it's from this year's harvest or last year's harvest. And if you tell me it's from this year's harvest, maybe it took root. It was hishrisha kodem la-omer. And he quotes the Torah b'shem harash regarding the svek-sveka. The shach holds from it. The gra holds from it. And that's the story. Okay. So along comes Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger, right on the spot. Mikoach svek sveka. He says, B'tshuvas mutzalet me'esh. I don't know who wrote the sefer. Someone's going to look that up for me. The mutzal me'esh. So in this sefer, it says, Tama. He was bewildered. Ha, shame ones chadu. What do you mean? It's one shame ones. Well, of course, here it's not a case of onus, but he means it's the same halachic mechanism. It's the same shame. Demali mishana sha'avra, umali mishana zu, kodem ha'omer. What do I care if it was last year's crop? What do I care if it's this year's crop that took root before the omer? The bottom line is the tfuah's mutter, because it was tfuah that experienced an omer, that the omer was matir. So it's the exact same mechanism that's being matir in both cases. What kind of, this is a phony svek-sveka. It's not a real svek-sveka. It goes exactly against the Tosus. And the Shach. This is exactly like the Havamina. Yeah, it's two situations. Maybe it's last year's crop, and if you tell me it's this year's crop, maybe it took root before the Omer. That's true, it's two situations. But as we know, situations aren't matir the, aren't sufficient grounds to having a svek-sveka be matir. It has to be two halachic shemos, two halachic mechanisms. And here it's the exact same mechanism. That's the kasha they raise, and I believe the Rav mentions other achronim have similarly raised this question against the Ramah and the Rush. Okay? That is the kasha that needs to be answered. I'm just going to go through now what the Rav says. But I'm going to do it in a basic way. If I miss some points, he might have made a couple other points. I mean, they're in the piece there. So I just want to get to the basic idea why it's not a svek-sveka. Okay? So the Rav quoted a Gemara in Menachos on Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis. And there's an Iboya there. A very, very specific kind of ibaya. So the Gemara said, which you'll see is exactly the point. You know, what you could deduce from that, the specificity of that ibaya. So the Gemara says, Boy Reb Shimon ben Pazi, right in the middle of the daf. Boy Reb Shimon ben Pazi, Shibola Sheviya Shlish, Kodam La Omer, Ve'okra V'shasla La'achara Omer, V'hosifa Maho. So Reb Shimon ben Pazi raised the following question. You have a stalk, and it brought forth a shlish. Okay, as Rashi explains, what's a shlish? Rashi, Divrei Hamaschil, where did it go? There it is, Shevia Shlish. Lahachi Nakat Shlish, the Chashav Gemar Pri. We'll come back to that Rashi in a minute. It's a very important Rashi. So why did he say Shlish? Because Shlish is when it's considered a Pri. In other words, that's when it produces the little wheat berries. Okay, the thing that we actually call wheat. Okay? So, and once it's a Shlish, it's considered to be a ripe berry. Even though it can grow more, but it's already a ripe berry, right? Just like, you know, you can have an apple, and an apple, you leave it on the tree longer, it'll get bigger. Okay? So what happened in the case? So it already has the pri. It has the wheat before the omer. And now you uproot the stalk. Okay? And now you replant it after the omer. And now the wheat berry grows more. Mahu. Basar ikar azlinim. Do you go after the ikar? Visharia. And therefore it's mutter. Meaning, let's imagine for a minute you never have replanted it. So that definitely would become mutter through the omer. Because you have a wheat berry. And now Pesach comes. And the second day of Pesach comes. Tezayin Nisan. And it's going to be matirit. Right? So definitely it's in a state of heter at that point. Okay? But now the problem is you're replanting it, and when you replant it, there's a new growth taking place that's unrelated to the omer. It never experienced an omer, so to speak. So that's the question of the Gemara. So do you go busser ikar? O Dilma busser tosefes as linen, vachi yavo omer haba. Or maybe you should go after the increase. And therefore, you're going to have to wait to eat this wheat until the next Omer. All right? It's not possible, of course, to separate the third from the rest, because it doesn't grow that way. It doesn't grow, right, incrementally like that. Okay. So you'll have to wait. All right. So that was Rav Shimon ben Pazi's question. That was his question. Alright? And offhand, it seems that what was the question of Shimon ben Pazi's mind? The question is, how do you view the pre here? Do you view it in qualitative terms? Or do you view it in quantitative terms? If you view it in qualitative terms, so that Omer was matir, the pre, and now the pre is mutter. The fact that it grows more, who cares? It's just further growth of the pre that is already is mutter. It's not considered a anything different. It's just simply a further development of that pre. But if you look at the pre in a quantitative way, then you look at each quantitative unit as the omer being matirit. And therefore, the new growth never experienced that thing. Okay, so that's Reb Shimon ben Pazi's question, which, by the way, has never been resolved, and therefore we go l'chumra, and you have to wait for the next Omer, assuming you hold Omer's deraisa. You know, chadash. Okay. Now the Rashi. So the Rav picked up on the Rashi. Well, actually, before the Rashi, you have a question here. The question you can ask yourself, really on the Gemara, is why did Reb Shimon ben Pazi give this case of a shiboles shehevia shlish? Why? Because we already learned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin that the Omer is Matir if it already took root. So why didn't you just have a simple case? You have a Shiboles that has no pre on it, but it took root. And now you uprooted it before the Omer, and now you replant it after the Omer. And now it grows more. Why don't you just give that case? Why do you have to introduce a... Why do you have to complicate it with a pre? We already know the Omer's matir in his shrisho, even if there's no pre. Why do you come up with this case? So that's exactly what Rashi seems to be addressing in Divrei HaMaschil Shevi Ashlish. So Rashi says like this, Shevi Ashlish, Lahachi Nakat Shlish. For this reason, he stated Shlish. The Choshev Gemar Pri. Because that's when it's considered to be a complete Pri. Di Makami Hachi, because if it's prior to that, meaning prior to a Shlish, Akra, that if you would have uprooted it before that moment, Havya Kishachas Balma, then it would be just mere Shachas, means, you know, like junk, you know, like straw, you know, fodder. I'm not sure what the best English word is for Shachas, but Shachas means it would be, you know, mere nothing. It wouldn't be really much of anything. Okay? So if you would have uprooted it before, it would have been Shachas Ba'alma. V'lo Mahani Omer Lameshria. And the Omer would not help to make it permitted. In other words, the Omer would not be matir the Shachas. That's what Rashi says. So he bedachki gave the case of a Shlish, because before a Shlish, the Omer wouldn't be matir it. So now you have an open question. What do you mean the Omer's not matir it? But the Omer's matir it from the time you plant it and it's one-third rooted. I mean, not one-third, I mean once it's rooted. Once it's a Shrisha. You don't need any kind of, what do you mean, shachas, the owner, the omer is not mati or shachas. Of course it is. Ha-omer in his shrisho, in his shrisho kodom la-omer, ha-omer matiran. That's an open halacha. That's even if there's no stalk. There's barely anything. As long as it took root 3 days before the omer is matir. So what is wrong? What's going on here? That before it's a shlish, it's Shachas, and the Omer is not Mahani Lameshria. What's Rashi talking about? That's the that's the problem you have to answer. Yeah, so what the Rav said is that there are really two separate phenomenon going on here. And the Omer has an effect, the Yom Tezayin, the Hakravas Omer, or Yom Tezayin, Yom Hanaf, has an effect on two different kinds of existences. One halacha is Im Hishrisha. Im Hishrisha, according to the Rav, means that if something is planted prior to the Omer and it took root, then at that point you don't have a shame chadash. Because you don't have wheat yet. All you have is something planted in the ground. But the halacha is that once it's planted in the ground, it's considered to be tvua. Now the question is it old tvua or is it new tvua? The Omer demarcates and defines the date. In other words, it is the thing that differentiates between old and new. You see? So if it was planted before the Omer, it was Hishrisha Kodama Omer, then we say that anything that grows from that growth, from that planting, is considered to be of the old crop, and therefore can never become usher. It can never become usher. because it's part of the old. The Omer defined it as being old crop. But of course, it can only be considered, the Omer can only define it if it's in the ground. The minute you take it out of the ground, then it's nothing. And that's exactly what Rashi means. Then it's just shachas v'alma. The Omer can't be matir it, meaning the Omer cannot define it if it's not in the ground. Hold on a second. You'll understand this better when you see the other side. But then there's another case. The other case is where the Shiboles brought forth peros. Now there's pieces of wheat on the thing. There's chita. There are wheat berries on the Shiboles. Now, if you have wheat berries, you have gemar pri, then by definition, that pri is defined as chadash. It's usser. It's a chetzah shel isser. So when the omer comes, it says that that pri that has a shame isser chadash is now mutter because it has a new shame. It has a shame yashan now. In that case, you went, the omer was actually a real matir. It's a real dynamic phenomenon. It really takes isser and makes it mutter. It's like every other kind of halacha. It's like doing shchita, let's say. It's matir a cheftza that was usser until that moment. So that's what Rashi meant. Rashi said, why did Reb Shimon ben Pazi give that case? Because only once it's a third, it's a pri. Because if you would have uprooted it before, di makami hachi akra, havi kishachas ba'alma, then it would be just nothing. Why? Because it wouldn't be a planting, it wouldn't be a crop, it wouldn't be tzvua, nor would it be a pri. V'lo mahani omer l'meshriya. So the omer can never come along and tell you any, be matir it. You see, that Rashi is very precise. You see? And now if you understand that, you'll understand why Reb Shimon ben Pazi gave that Ibaya. See, why did he give that specific Ibaya? Oh, because it's the only one available to him. The only one that makes sense. Because what would be the other one? You'll say he'll plant something before the Omer. It doesn't grow anything. And then you'll uproot it, and then you'll plant it after the Omer. There's no question there. Of course that's usher until the next Omer. Because the Omer can't be matir such an entity like that. Either the Omer could be matir tvua, a crop, meaning that's in the ground, that's mechuba lakarka, or it could be matir, a pri. Those are the one or two possibilities. So that's why Reb Shimon Pazi, this is the only possibility that he could ask. If he would have uprooted it before there was a pri, before there was a shame pri, then what would the Omer be working on? The Omer wouldn't be related to anything. It has no shaychus to shachas v'alma. It only has a relationship to something that's in the ground, a mechuber lakarka, that's tvua. It could be matir that. You see? Or it could be matir, a pri. Okay? Now, having said that, and I already kind of said what the Rav meant, but let me now clarify. Now the Rav made a chiluk in the two mechanisms. Meaning, in the case of a pri, as I said before, it's a real matir. There's a change in the chaloshem of the entity. It went from a chadash aser to yashan mutter. That's if you have a pri, because a pri is shayach, the shame iser chadash. But in the other case, where it's Ishrisha, there is no, even though it uses the equivalent, the term matir, it's not a real halachic mechanism of matir. It's heter in a different sense, because since the Omer demarcates and defines which crop it belongs to, memela, it's not usher. But not because it really was a mati or something that was usser. It was never usser. It was just planted in the ground and there's no pri yet. So there was nothing that really was usser. Nothing emerged to become nesar. Just the omer defines the date. And the Rav pointed out, by the way, that's why the Gemara on Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph shows there are two separate psukim. One is to be matir hashrasha, and the other is to be matir the actual pre. That's on the top of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay? Why does he have to give two psukim? Because it's really two different ideas. One is a real idea of a matir, meaning it's a real idea of being uprooting a chaloshem iser and changing it to a chaloshem heter. And the other case is there is no chaloshem iser. It just simply defines what crop this thing belongs to. And the psukim come to tell you that both of them are effective and both of them will result in a heter achila. That's basically the Rav's chiddush. And based on that, you can answer the Svexveka now. Because the kasha of the Svexveka was that they asked, the Achronim asked, is that it's a shame ones echad. It's one shame. It's one halachic mechanism of before the Omer, that the Omer is matir it. Well, but now we understand it very well. Because what's the Svexveka? Safek, maybe it's this year's crop, or maybe it's last year's crop. So first of all, if it's last year's crop, so then the Omer was really matirit, meaning it was a real crop, meaning it was harvested. It was last year's harvest, I should say. Maybe I'm using those, be confusing those words. It means it was last year's harvest. So now, that means they harvested chita. Now this Pesach just came by, and it was matir, the Isser Yashan. I mean, the Isser Chadash, and made it Yashan. And even if you'll tell me that what? That maybe it's this year's harvest, right? It wasn't a pre until when? After Pesach. Oh, but still suffolk. Maybe it took root before Pesach. And if it took root before Pesach, it doesn't need a real matir. It always is defined as the old crop. So each suffolk is different mechanism. One, the reason for being matir it is because there was a real matir. A real matir, that the Omer was matir, the Isser Chadash, and transformed it into Yashan. The other possibility is, there never was an Isser that devolved upon this entity. Because it always was last year's crop. Because it was Hishrisha, Kodem Omer. And therefore, even though the pre grew after Pesach, it's Memela Mutter. So therefore, it's not the same shame, it's not the same halachic mechanism, and they're in the same halachic concept. And therefore, the Svexveka is correct. That's the Rav's piece. I hope I said it all right.